Good morning. You know, if you suffer from insomnia, it could be that you suffer from anxiety. If you suffer from anxiety, call
622-6018.
So 622-6018 will get you Patrick Doyle. And if you need all the herbs and the other things, call Ventana Wellness.
But yeah, I don't have any herbs. I gave those up years ago.
Well, I mean, the good ones. The good ones. Okay. Don't go there.
There's a bunch of people out there know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, they all just kind of drove in the ditch. Patrick Doyle's in the house. He heads up Veritas Counseling over in Jacksonville. And the number there is 622-6018. But the number here is 776-5368. We're talking about anxiety, which certainly can produce insomnia. It's a form of anxiety. But, man, I don't know a person that is not immune to anxiety these days.
That's right.
Yours truly included.
Yep. Yeah, anxiety is very real. And there's a part of it. There's a part of anxiety.
Are you going to tell me I'm not trusting God enough? Is this where this is going to go? Because we could end the show right now. There's no use taking a call, doing nothing. If you're telling me I'm not trusting God enough, let's just end it and I'll play music for 25 minutes.
Isn't that the answer to everything? What's the answer to everything? We don't need...
I just blew your cover, didn't I?
I'm on troll. I'm a one-trick pony. That's it. Everything else, just a calling card.
Okay.
Anxiety is very normal, actually. There's a healthy form of anxiety.
Oh?
Yes. You know, so when you're getting ready to... have a big meeting and you got butterflies in your stomach, you know, that's a normal kind of anxiety because there's a lot riding on this. Okay. Right. You don't walk in there. I trust God. Oh, and you float through, and I've certainly sat outside of many a meeting and sweated bullets, right before I had to go in there and present. But, so there's a healthy form of anxiety. It's just not the one we see most often. The most often form of anxiety we see is the debilitating one where you can't function. And I wanted to say this. This is, again, I like to give my thesis statement right up front so we can then work backwards. It's my contention that underneath all anxiety is fear.
Fear of failure, fear of acceptance, unacceptance.
Fear of all kinds of things.
Fear. Okay.
Okay, so fear has an antidote biblically.
Yeah, perfect love casts out fear.
That's right. So perfect love.
Yeah, it's coming. Let me tell you, folks. Here he comes.
Watch for it. Here it comes. So, the good thing is that for anxiety.
That's your epitaph.
It is.
Trust God.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope they put on there. You can have. There's an antidote for fear. But so let me give you a real-time example. Uh-huh. So the person who. You ever seen those shows? You can see them now on TV. They're doing all these kinds of shows. But I was watching one the other week on OCD, Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. People have to check the locks and wash their hands, and they do all these rituals repeatedly. You ever seen that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when I was watching the show, and the lady was – there was a therapist there, and she was trying to help the person get through it. And she kept asking him how he felt, and he said, I'm afraid I need to check the door. I'm afraid I need to check the door. And she says, well, you've already locked the door. And I'm like, where did the guy get the fear? Why is he afraid the door's not locked? And then if we ask the next question, what's going to happen if the door's not locked? Well, somebody's going to steal something, or I'm going to, get in trouble. So how many of you out there have had fears that when you really thought about it made no sense?
Well...
Because you can have a perception when you're young.
Yeah.
So I'll tell a story about a situation I know of. So this guy comes to treatment, and he comes to treatment because he took his little three-cylinder Ford Fiesta car, those little disposable cars, I called them.
Yeah.
And he's driving, he's getting on the freeway, and there's a bus coming down in the lane, and the bus doesn't get over, so he rammed the bus. Does that make sense? Why would he ram the bus? Because it didn't get over. There's no way the bus could get over. So he's in treatment. He's talking about stuff. And he says, I remember when I was 5 years old, I was hiding under the kitchen table. And I was watching my dad beat my mom. And he says, I remember when I was under that table, I made a promise to myself. I would never let anybody push me around. And suddenly the light went on in his mind. And he realized, oh, my word. I've been living off that statement, that belief, that truth. In his mind, since he was 5, and he's 60 now, when he's telling the story about the bus,
oh.
And He says, that explains so many things in my life that I did that everybody would scratch their heads at, like, why were you just reacting like that? So at 5 years old, he made this promise to himself he'd never let anybody push him around. Now, when he's five and he's watching his dad beat his mom, that's probably a good idea, you know, because it's a dangerous situation. But when you get older and you're not in that situation, you don't need to live by that rule anymore. But a lot of times what anxiety is fear that's based on these beliefs we pick up as kids that at the time seem really relevant to a five-year-old or a six-year-old or an eight-year-old, but aren't really that relevant. So one of the things that I also want to bring out, you know, when I was a kid, 2-3 years old, we lived in a house in California. And, you know, 10 years ago or so, I was talking to my siblings about that house. You know, they're all 10 years older than me. And I said, hey, remember that house in California with a really steep driveway? And they're like, dude, that house didn't have a steep driveway. I'm like, yeah, it did. It was really steep. They're like, no, you were too. I'm like, oh, it wasn't steep? They're like, no. But from all my life, I believed it was a steep driveway because it too, that's what I thought.
You know, did you hear the show with Paul Coughlin?
I did. Just the tail end.
About the bullying?
Yes.
And the cowardness?
Mm, cowardice, yeah.
I just was wondering, you know, hearing you talk here, is anxiety produced from the fact that you realize you're a product of that?
Could absolutely be. That's a definite cause. When you've been mistreated, that's another reason why people are anxious, because, look, they have evidence that it can happen. Bad things do happen to me. And so then you live in fear of them, and that creates a lot of anxiety.
I'm not too sure if anxiousness is the great neutralizer of the church today. I mean, mm-hmm. I still have that stack in my office. I leave it there for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Of almost 800 requests for prayers in 2 days.
Right.
And it's a reminder to me of how anxious people are.
Yes.
And if the lives are twisted with that such a complexity of life's issues that
right.
creates all of this anxiousness,
right.
the church is ineffective.
It
and I don't mean that to be disrespectful.
No.
I'm just looking at it from the big picture here.
Right.
Man, we're upside down here, and yet we're telling people to believe the God that we worship, and someone ain't
right.
working for us.
Right. Well, exactly. You know, believing in Him is a better way to evangelize than telling.
All right, let's go to the phone. Frank, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Frank.
Tuesday, because Patrick's there.
Thank you, Frank.
Hey, you know, I have to be really careful what I say on this radio. I was in church on Sunday, and somebody came up to me and said, I heard you on the radio the other day. Like, oh, I better not be so transparent.
Not unless you want to get free, Frank.
Yeah, really. So I guess you have one or two listeners who listen to you guys. You know, I was thinking about what you were saying, Patrick, about fear and irrational fears and things that we do, behaviors. And I know for myself what is underlying that for me is at times I believe that if my faith were stronger, if I had a deeper faith in the Lord
uh-huh.
and was assured of my salvation, where I'm going to be, because I have a fear of death.
Mm.
So for me, you know, some of the behaviors and things that I do are to ward that off.
Right.
Or to, you know, be more comfortable.
Right.
Because of anxiety. And I know underlying that, like I said, is that if my faith were stronger, then mm-hmm. I don't think I would have those thoughts and behaviors.
Right. Well, you know, Frank, I would say that your faith isn't the issue. I would say God's actions and His faith would be the issue. Because the truth is, God, if you're saved, He's the one in charge of getting you there.
Right.
You're like Paul said in Romans 8, he doesn't believe that there's anything that can separate us from the love of God. Why? If you read further on, he says, because of how God has embraced us, not how we've embraced Him.
See, I believe that, and I know that, but I was raised Catholic.
Spit out
so I've had a works-based faith, even though I try not to anymore. That's
right.
Underlying, you know,
sure.
those things.
Absolutely. And the other thing, it is a process, Frank. You just don't walk away from that severe training. But my suggestion is to keep going back and rehearsing the truth of the gospel, not your responsibility.
Right.
Because that's where the legalism gets a hold of you.
Yeah.
And makes you fearful.
Thank you.
You bet, man.
All right, take care.
776-5368 if you have any questions about anxiety. If you're afraid to call in,
email us.
All right. So you're saying that beneath anxiety is fear.
Yes.
And so as a therapist, you're trying to find out what the cause of that fear is.
Yes. Where's the cause?
And
yes.
Replace that fear with God's love.
Absolutely.
So it really requires for us to do some real soul searching, being honest.
Yes.
Is there a commonality among that fear, or could it be a variety of things?
Well, it's a variety of things because people's experiences are so broad. Yeah. And like I said, when you're young and you live in an environment that's unsafe, the perceptions that you can bring away from that are so varied. I know for me, living in a violent home as a kid, you know, I was very afraid. And my anxiety didn't look like debilitating anxiety. My anxiety looked like a whirlwind. I was, you know, always going in 1,000 directions because I couldn't slow down enough because there was so much fear in me. I just kept moving. So it didn't look like anxiety when I was a kid, but then when I got older, it did. After the military, I had, you know, more anxiety than I'd ever had. And that's when God really started to work in me and show me himself. And that's what helped me get out of the anxiety. It wasn't me trying harder. And see, this is one of the things that people with anxiety do is they try harder. Because that's what anxiety pushes you to do. And when God says, I want you to trust me, to the person who's feeling like they have to take care of everything, that's not very comforting. Wait a second. If I trust you, what happens if you don't show up? What happens if you don't do what you're supposed to? Because remember, underneath here, I'm deathly afraid that something bad's going to happen.
We're living in a time where the pressure on people today is intense.
It's amazing.
The American lifestyle is now being squeezed. I don't know of anybody that's not being affected by what's happened with the economy.
Right.
I know good Christians that are in business that are having to do major cutbacks and adjustments. It's certainly been a great thing for our prayer life. Probably should have been there all along, but, you know, it's amazing how we find ourselves.
Human nature being what it is.
Yeah, we're there a whole lot more. But it has created a level of anxiousness unlike anything we've ever seen. Is most of this anxiousness tied to materialism?
Yeah, I think more than materialism, it's tied to the outcome. We're fearful of what the outcome will be, fearful about the outcome of what our kids will be, fearful about the outcome of the business, about the relationship, about, you know, the meeting, about, you know, the job, about whatever. So the fearing the outcome is one of the main sources of anxiety, okay? Who's in charge of the outcome?
Me.
Yeah. Thus you're anxious. Because the scripture says that God, a man makes his plans, yeah, but God orders his steps.
Yeah.
God is ultimately in charge of the outcome. And, you know, you look back in your life and you can see his hand moving things and making things happen.
Right.
But in the moment, we forget that. And if you have trust in God being good, see, I know a lot of people believe God is in charge, but they don't necessarily believe he's good. You know, if you're good, then why did that happen?
Yeah.
And so we have these questions about his goodness.
Yeah.
And so if you aren't convinced that God is good, well, you will be anxious, because if he's in charge and he's not good, bad stuff's going to happen.
All right, Patrick Doyle's with us. If you got any questions about anxiety, maybe you're suffering with it, and you know something's wrong, you're upside down about something, you just can't put a, you know, pinpoint. I'm surprised how anxiety takes its toll physically.
Yes.
And emotionally. Of course, emotionally is what, you know, you deal with. But if anxiety isn't brought under control, and right, a lot of this is a trust factor.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think God woke up and said, oh, no, the American economy's upside down. I think I better just focus on, you know, Mexico for a couple of years. I'll just forget the United States. I mean, there is a lot of his people crying out
right
during this time who've lost jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses are, mm-hmm, you know, being stifled. I mean, you can go mm-hmm right on down the list. So there is this level of anxiety. But if you don't get it under control, it can kill you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I talk to a lot of people who are substance abusers. Secondary to dealing with their anxiety. And it didn't start off as addiction, but it ended up that way because it's the only thing that helps me get any peace. You know, I smoke a little pot, or I drink a little alcohol, or it starts off that way. And then, you know, I take a prescription drug, or, you know, and, you know, don't get me started on the whole psychiatric prescription drug thing, because, you know, I totally disagree with the fact that, you know, if somebody's anxious, you have to put them on a benzodiazepine, and that's the only treatment. You know, all that does is take away their feelings. And their feelings are one of the things I believe God uses to heal them. So I believe that pain is one of the main tools God uses to sanctify people. You know, I don't change anything in my life because I feel comfortable.
Oh, I thought it was a lack of faith.
Well, a lack of faith exists in all of us because we're on this side of heaven. We see through a glass dimly. And the good thing is that my faith doesn't determine God's actions. You know, I always think of Jonah. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, God said, hey, go talk to the Ninevites. He's like, I don't think so. I don't like those people. I want you to kill them. I'm not going to go talk to them because if I do, I know you'll save them. So I'm not doing it. You know the story. He ends up in a whale thinking he's dead. While Jonah's in the belly of that whale thinking he's going to be killed and made into whale feces, what was God doing? God was giving him a ride to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. He's on the beach there, and he's like, oh, man, he's persistent. Mm-hmm. And then he preaches, angry, mad. They all get saved, and then he says, see, I knew you were going to do this. Jonah was absolutely furious. Why? Because God didn't do what he wanted, and he was rebellious, and he was disobedient, and he was faithless. Did that stop God? Not one bit. God still saved all those people, and he still used Jonah, even though he was as unfaithful and as rebellious and as stiff-necked as a guy could get. And that gives me great hope, because what that tells me is that God's going to accomplish his good plan in spite of me. Not because of me. Now, if I get in step with him, does my life go better? Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't prevent him from doing what he's going to do. If I'm his child and I'm going to heaven, then there's nothing I can do to mess it up, according to Romans.
We're anxious over, you say, outcomes or maybe material possessions and the cost of those things.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to minimize that as saying, you know, it's just worldly. That's not it at all. I mean, we may be under intense obligation as a business owner. And and things are winding down, and you feel the pressure.
Right.
You're becoming anxious. Do we really believe, in the midst of our anxiousness, that God is in control, even of a downturn? At what point do you, you give it all to God, but not to the point of being irresponsible?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the one of the questions that gets in the way is we say, is God in this? And I'm saying that's not the question. The question is, who's going to help me? You know, because, look, the other thing that's true is that evil exists. It's everywhere. And it can harm you. And that's something to be concerned about. I mean, how many people have been hurt by evil? I mean, every one of us living has. So we know that bad things are going to happen and have happened. We have that deep knowledge.
Well, I just, I've become more and more aware of... And maybe we ought to do a show on this selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
But even among Christians, that it really is about them. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
At the cost of relationships.
Right. Right.
It's not happening the way I want it. It's not happening the way I want.
Right.
I had Pastor Enns in talking about the love revolution, you know, the commandments. Jesus said, love thy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That has not been carried forward.
Right.
But so a person that's in the middle of an incredible anxiety attack, you know what? I have to tell you, that's another thing we may want to touch on briefly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm seeing people legitimately suffer with anxiety attacks.
Yeah.
They're starting to hyperventilate.
Yep, yep.
I mean, they hit the wall so bad.
Right. Yeah, they lose control.
They lose control.
Hyperventilate. Anxiety attacks are definitely on the rise. Because people are so isolated, one, they have no one to talk to, they have no one they trust, they have been given a religion that says it's up to you, which only further increases the anxiety, because I know I can't get it done. Yeah. I'm pretty aware of that. You have economic unrest, you have, you know, familial dissolvement. So all the things that help people cope with reality are being splintered and taken away. And then if you have a religious belief that says it's up to you, and if you don't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, if you have that mentality in your head, it's only going to increase your anxiety. Look, the only hope I have is that my loving Father is going to help me, because I realize I don't have what it takes, and I can't keep ramping it up anymore. The anxiety is wearing me out. I can't keep going and going and going. At some point, you have to stop. And rest and surrender and say, you know what, God? I don't know what's going to happen, but if you don't help me, I'm done.
Most of our religious experience is performance-driven.
Yeah, it's tragic.
So how do we, how can we enjoy God? It seems like we're trying to please him all the time instead of enjoying him all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. Well, I love what John Piper says. He says we should be hedonists about enjoying God.
Okay.
And he's not kidding. He says our greatest purpose in life is to enjoy God. And the reason that's possible is because of the gospel. What God has already done. It frees us up to enjoy him instead of trying to get him to like us. He already loves us. That's already settled. He's not waiting for me to get it together. He's not, you know, looking over his glasses with his clipboard, waiting for me to fulfill the list. He's happy with me. My job is to enjoy him. And from that, I have peace. Instead of all this anxiety to try to get it done and strive and all that intensity. And I see it all the time, Perry. People come in with relational issues, and they've got all the weight on their shoulders. And I'm like, that's not going to be okay because you don't have the power to change that person. I don't have the power to change that person. That's God's business.
Why is our happiness so dependent upon making somebody else change? And do we carry that forward in our relationship with God?
Well, if somebody else changes means my life's better,
yeah,
that's why I want that to happen. Because I'm depending on my circumstances to be the way I want them for me to be okay. And what God says is your circumstances are secondary to the fact that I'm going to take care of you. No matter what your circumstances are, I'm going to take care of you. Now, I know you for sure, Perry. I know you a long time now. I know you a long time. I know that you've had many situations in your, at least your ministry life, where God has miraculously shown up. Mm-hmm. You didn't know. You didn't have a plan for it. You didn't know it was coming. You didn't. But all of a sudden, in the hour of need, the right moment, God takes care of you. And over time, that produces a trust. And so then he says, do TV, and you're like, whatever, I don't really know what that means, but okay. And if he'd have told you, you'd have been like, I'm not doing that. Mm. Okay, but and then the process, who shows up? Is it Perry working until 12 at night every day? Or is it all the staff? Is their work important? Absolutely. But ultimately, who's putting all the pieces together, all the way from New Zealand, all the way from Europe? I mean, this is his business, and he's taking care of it. And it's getting to the place where we can rest in his timing and not my circumstances being the way I want them to. Now, I'm telling you, I have a desire for how I want my life to go. The problem is I'm not in charge of it.
All right. We're talking about anxiety. We're going to run out of time here. How do we do a little anxious test?
I would say this. You don't sleep well. You don't have any mental peace. Your mind races. You're scenario building almost all the time. You know what I mean when I say scenario building?
Yeah.
Okay? So
yeah.
You're running out scenarios all the time. What if this happens then because of this? And you're always thinking about those things. You're fearful.
You know, let me just interrupt you there. What concerns me is I've walked people through anxiety. You do it for a living.
Sure.
One of the products of anxiety is they literally come out negative thinking, and I don't think they intend to be, but when they come out the other end, they're still plagued with thinking the worst instead of thinking the best. They always look for the negative instead of at least the neutral. I'm not saying replace the negative with the positive, but why are you going there? It hasn't happened.
Right. Well, that's what we call catastrophizing. You know, you go to the worst possible scenario, and that comes from being wounded. When you're mistreated as a person, and it's happened to you, and you've not been able to stop it. It's not conscious, but subconsciously you realize that bad things are going to happen.
You can tell. Well, the first comment out of their mouth is usually the downside of the issue.
Right.
There's always two sides to everything. But why do they always go to the downside of the issue?
Because that's been their experience. And so here's the other thing. If I believe it's always going to be bad, I can actually invite a lot of that in because I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the bad, and so I'm not seeing all the possibilities because I've tunneled my vision with all this bad stuff that's going to happen. And when I have when I have tons of experience, and I have had it happen to me, then it's very real to me. It's not like I'm just making it up.
Well, the scripture says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, and I'm really thinking that if I was the enemy, all I got to do is steal the joy. John 10:10 says that Jesus said the devil comes to steal, to destroy, and to kill.
Right.
I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to make the church weak, all I got to do is steal their joy.
Right.
And they have no strength.
Right. And our joy should come from an intimacy with the Almighty God, who through his amazing mercy and grace and love made me his child. I didn't make that happen.
Yeah, you know, you've helped me see that through the years. I will admit that. I'll give you one.
Okay.
Okay, okay, here we are. Patrick okay. One.
Perry, 49,000.
No, I just that at the end of the day, when I mean, I didn't know how I was going to get through the day. I mean, with the pressure, what's going on with everything, you know,
right.
You kind of go, oh, man.
Right.
But I can go home and say, you know what? Doesn't change the fact that, you know, I'm still God's kid. And
that's right.
I'm going to heaven. And so
that's right.
I can go home and say, big deal. If it blows right. up, it blows up.
It does. And you know what? Your daddy will take care of you, whether it's blown up or whether it's successful. And trust me, he's going to need to take care of you if it does become successful as much as he's going to need to take care of you if it doesn't. So here's the thing. If you're anxious, and you, anybody who's anxious knows they are. It's not a hard thing to figure out. Look, here's what I would suggest you do.
Call you?
No. Well, you could call me. That's for sure.
622-6018.
Yeah. I would also suggest that you start to rehearse what the gospel is, which is that you're deeply and profoundly loved by God, and he sought you out to do good to you, unlike your parents or somebody else who may have sought you out to do harm.
All right, something else you're going to do to get rid of anxiety is take a raft trip down the Rogue River.
There you go.
I have a certificate here good for one raft trip for four by Rapid Pleasure Raft Rental in Shady Cove. And I'm going to give it to caller number four.
I don't have a phone, though. That's not fair.
Caller number four, 776-5368.
Call for me, Sue.
No. Caller number four, 776-5368. You're going to get this little certificate I have in my hand here, good for a raft trip for four down the Rogue River.
Way to go.
All right. Thanks, pal.
You
see
bet.
You next time.
You bet.